Why?
I am right now already despising
yes,
this.
I used an aspirated H. That's how upset I am.
Why?
Why? Welcome back to the Lazy Muse Podcast. I'm Jimmy G.
And I'm Eric Grattan.
Just a couple of guys sitting around talking about the shit we like to watch.
And listen to and drink.
That's right. And today we are drinking Red Hook ESB Extra Special Bitter Ale.
My favorite thing about the bottle is right in the upper left-hand corner, there's a little banner that says throwback. It's a throwback beer.
This is old school.
Yeah, totally. Because they say so.
Right. Well,
it's like me wearing my Derek Thomas jersey. Or even better, this is like me wearing my Emmett Thomas jersey. I don't have one, but if anyone wants to send one, a fan of the show, if you have an old school Chiefs Emmett Thomas jersey, you can find me at Eric Grattan, care of Seattle, Washington.
So the Beer Advocate score for this is a 78. This is by far the lowest rated beer we've had.
According to Beer Advocate, this is nothing special.
Right. Average.
Yes. Now, that said, because I like to say that said, I'm half in the bag anyway, because I had a singing audition earlier and I needed to...
Right, and what do you do before that?
Often, I will take a little shot of liquor to warm up my throat, if I don't have access to a nice warm-up room. All right, so the silence right. that followed that was deafening. But I actually quite enjoyed this beer.
Okay, well, it's...
We drank it with kielbasa.
Right, and kielbasa makes everything taste better.
Especially beer.
So this is, it's, you know, it's extra special, strong bitter. It's 5.8% ABV. That's alcohol by volume.
Well done.
I love the jargon.
Yes. What I'll say about it is that I really like bitter. I like bitter in my beer. And I think that this, was bitter without being overpowering. I liked it. So I can still understand why others wouldn't. I would never serve this to my girlfriend who hates this kind of beer.
Right. So that's the first beer that we're having today. A little bit of business for the podcast. Just to remind our listeners, we are currently running a giveaway to the Reebok Spartan Race.
And I feel bad about this because on Twitter, I think I've been calling it some sort of Adidas thing.
Oh, no.
No, this is Reebok, because Adidas sucks.
Right, this is Reebok.
And we're a Nike country, so we mean it when we talk about
right.
Reebok.
So this giveaway is for any Reebok Spartan Race anywhere.
In the world.
In the continental United States.
Also known as the world
right.
that we care about.
The lower 48.
Yes.
And all you have to do to win this is go to iTunes, leave us a star rating. Doesn't matter if it's a one.
From a zero to a half to one to one and a half all
right.
the way to five.
You can't leave a zero without not doing anything.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
Okay, never mind. From a half star to five
stars. Right. And leave us a comment. Tear us apart. Build us up.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm disappointed that right now every comment we have is five stars.
Right. And
one of which is Jimmy's.
One of which is mine. The very first one, which was the only one there for quite a while.
Yes.
One of my good friends left us a nice one, but he earnestly enjoys the podcast.
And a stranger.
A stranger.
And this is a fantastic review. We need to find out how to get a hold of you because you are by far
yes.
the front runner.
Julia Letters.
That's your name.
I love your review.
Yeah, you're very nice to us.
Right now, you are in sole possession of one Reebok Spartan Race entry.
However, we have no idea how the hell to get in touch.
We don't know
with
who you are.
Yeah, who the hell are you?
So, to the rest of our listeners out there, which there are ones of.
Ones. Many ones.
You could still win this. So, just go to iTunes. I mean, really. This is, for our actor friends in New York City, this is less painful than even going to a showcase show.
Oh, my God.
To watch a friend.
It's also free, and you don't have to sit
right.
through 2.5 hours of bad theater.
Right. And I've been to some of your showcases,
yes.
including during the summer in New York City when there's no air conditioning. Okay. And I still sat through all of Twelfth Night. Well, you know who you are.
That wasn't me, was it? No. I've never been in Twelfth Night. That's awesome. So I know that wasn't me. But the thing about New York that is similar to the thing here is you always bring a flask to these shows.
Mm.
So you're at least keeping yourself cool in the summer and warm in the winter with a nice flask of whatever.
I have to pee too much for that. That's why I don't like concerts anymore. It's a pain in the ass to ask people to get out of the way.
So all of our listeners over 40, listen to Jimmy.
That's what you have to look forward to. A weak bladder.
And sitting down while you pee. So for all your other listeners, just realize that it's so easy. Go to iTunes. Tell us what you really think, because you'll win whether or not.
Right. That's what we were talking about. I forgot what we were talking about.
You'll win whether or not you like us. Just write something fun and or funny.
Right. And you could win. We got to shift gears here a little bit.
Well, I still think we got to tell Julia Letters where.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thank you.
Claim her prize, even if Julia Letters is really Mike Poignant.
Right. 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 So, Julia Letters,
if that is indeed her name,
whomever you are, please go to thelazymuse@gmail.com.
Sponsored by Google.
Right. One of our many sponsors. And let us know who you are if you want to claim this prize. And we can hook you up with it. You don't have to give us your address. Just your email, because I can email you the code to get into any race. We still have a couple weeks. So Julia Letters.
If that is your real name.
You're not the only one who could win this. Some of our other listeners. There's at least, you know, out of the 12 listeners we have, 4 of them can run.
Yes, and several of them might be coming up behind you right now.
Because my mom can't run.
Right.
So she's out for the list. So that, I mean, the odds are getting better and better for you people.
Yes.
All right, so shifting gears here.
Yes, shifting gears, please.
I have some disturbing news.
Share.
I was doing a little bit of research, as I am wont to do.
Research über was.
Yes. And I came across this little tidbit here.
Hit me.
So I'm going to read it to you.
Please.
This is from our friends at The Beer Advocate.
Okay.
One of our many unofficial sponsors.
Do you realize that you have some sort of liquid on your finger pad on your MacBook?
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to take care of you here.
Thanks, man. So,
all right,
here's my little thing. Handling tips.
Oh.
Never.
Ever.
Ever. Chill your glassware, and decline if served a frosty glass. Why?
I am right now already despising
this. I used an aspirated H. That's how upset I am.
Why?
Why? As the beer hits the frosted glass, condensation will occur and dilute your beer, while at the same time altering the serving temperature. Eric, can you tell us what kind of glasses I provided for our beer today?
You provided frosty glasses.
Yeah, I read this 3 days ago.
Yes.
And you know what?
Fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Up yours, man.
I have a very good friend who, with regards to every single thing he does, and this will surprise people, I'm not talking about myself.
Mm.
When offered any sort of beverage or foodstuffs, has a suggestion as how to make it better. That's not what you
do. That is surprising that it isn't you.
Yeah, usually that's me. But the thing is, when I want to have a scotch neat, that's fine. And you jackasses that think that adding a little piece of water to that scotch is going to unload the whatever.
Right.
You know, this is not true. Adding water to scotch does not cause any sort of chemical reaction. This does not happen. People.
Right. Somebody suggests that there's a chemical reaction.
That, thinking that it unwinds these pieces of blah, 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 blah. No, what it does is dilutes the alcohol and makes it a little less harsh to you, and you can savor the taste. It's not harsh to me, and I love the taste of a neat whiskey if the whiskey is good. Now,
word.
I might once in a while dilute it to make it last longer, but fuck you if you think that I have to add a few drops of water to unwind the taste and get the air. No, fuck off.
Right.
You're wrong.
Right. So
what you do always, and the only piece of advice you ever need to hear, which is about to come from me when it comes to food, drink, movies, music, anything you like. Preach. What you like is what is good. And fuck everybody else.
Say it again.
But if you like... Oh, I'm sorry. What you like is what is good, and fuck everybody else. Now, if you trust someone or you're curious about their tastes, fuck yeah. Expand your horizons and listen, taste, drink what they suggest.
Preach.
And be of open mind.
But
fuck them if they say the best way to do something is this. The best way to do something is the way you like best.
Right.
Boom, dumb, drop mic. All right, I feel better. Let's move on.
All right. So today we're going to talk about something that kind of took the nation by storm just this past Sunday.
The online subscriber nation.
Yes, online subscriber nation. The return of Arrested Development.
Hey, Hermano.
Hello, brother. So, you know, this has been a long time in the coming. A lot of people have been talking about this.
And 7 years.
7 years? Yeah,
2005.
Right, right. So, you know, originally...
I guess 2006 was the end of that season,
right,
wasn't it?
Yeah. But, I mean...
3, 4, 5, 6, yes.
So it came back on Sunday.
It did. 3:01 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Is that really?
Yeah.
So I know I woke up in the morning and they were there waiting for me, like a, you know, big
Christmas present. Oh, wait, no. 3:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Midnight 01 Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, I got Yeah. Well, that makes more sense.
It does.
So let's just, before we dive into sort of breaking this down, and we're not going to do any kind of episode recaps here. So
no.
You can listen to this in. We won't spoil what happens on the show. We may spoil your appetite for seeing it.
Yeah, here's the thing. We haven't liked it yet, but we've only seen 2 or 3 episodes.
Right. So, you know, this was created by Mitchell Hurwitz.
Yes.
You know, from The Ellen Show. The John Larroquette Show. He did Golden Girls.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
this guy's
got a resume,
you know,
as long as my shorter arm.
Ooh.
So, I have, for everyone who just hasn't met me yet, I have monkey arms. They go on forever. So my shorter arm is still incredibly long.
Right. So, you know, conceived by Ron Howard. And they took this to him and was like, look, we got this kind of idea about a family, and, you know, what do you think? And his pitch and what got him the job was, well, what if we do a reverse story? What, instead of rags to riches, we do riches to rags.
And we know how it ends. We start
with,
you know, this is a story
right.
about a man who's trying to keep his family
right.
together.
And I want to come back to this, the lead-in that you just gave,
okay.
because it's important with the new episodes.
Yeah, the new lead-in is slightly different.
So that, you know, that's sort of the prelude of the guy who created it. And everybody knows, everybody on this show is big.
Yeah, well, now.
Right, that's what I mean now.
Now, the case at all.
These guys have a bunch. So, you know,
if it had been the case when it started, it wouldn't have been canceled after 3 seasons.
Oh, right, right.
If Jeffrey Tambor was a household name, if Jessica Walter was still at the level she was when she did Play Misty for Me, do you know, when if Jason Bateman was still as famous as he was in 1987.
Right.
But
well,
then again, it probably wouldn't have been as good.
If there was somebody who had a great quote. I don't know if it was on Facebook or Twitter about Jason Bateman. This was a while ago. Whatever the newest Jason Bateman vehicle was, their quote was something to the effect of, oh, Jason Bateman spending the last of his credibility from Arrested Development, because he has done.
Assume that's the change up or something.
Just
a
string of, but and that's what made me think of. I went and kind of looked at what these guys have done, Jason Bateman.
I mean, I feel like I know where you're going, but I think it's important to note that every single person involved in this show is incredibly talented.
Right. Right.
No, it's
without exception,
and they don't write the vehicles that come to them after this. You know,
right.
It's not like Jason Bateman wrote a bunch of shitty scripts. He
right.
offered a bunch of shitty scripts.
And of course you do it. Of course you do it. I mean, there's very... We have to sort of go on an actor geek here. There's very few actors who will turn down scripts because of artistic reasons. And without exception, all of those actors are assholes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're not members of any sort of union.
Once
we've joined the actors,
Daniel Day-Lewis turns down stuff all the time because he's too good for it. He thinks can be an Oscar
In the bank,
right?
And he lives in a forest.
Jason Bateman's not hurting for money at all, and it hasn't been for a very long time.
I have no idea if that's true.
How?
I don't think Jason Bateman signed a contract in 2005 or 2003 for Arrested Development for a huge amount above the SAG minimum.
Which is still
the SAG minimum's
very, very livable wage.
That's,
right,
that's good.
Right.
Before,
so
before you
right.
get into residuals.
The vast majority of Americans live off of.
$10 million in cash in an offshore account somewhere.
By now, maybe. He's done a lot of movies. He's making at least $1 million per movie.
I don't think he is.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe when he's
shocking
the lead in the movie.
Which he almost always is.
No.
In these little...
In The Change Up, yeah. And in
right.
a couple other
Horrible Bosses, he's one of the leads.
Yeah, but Horrible Bosses made no money.
He makes a movie a year, at least.
Yes, but he's not making Sudeikis money. He was making a movie a year and one of the stars of Saturday Night Live. You know,
how can we find this out?
Well, I'll give Jason a call. Either Sudeikis or Bateman.
Why didn't you call him today?
Actually, I used to ride the bus home with Jason Sudeikis from high school. But we're not
Skype him in on that, man.
Yeah. Hey, Jace.
Because
how much cash were you pulling down?
I just can't believe he's not loaded.
You just got very sports radio for a second.
Yeah, it's fine.
Very sports.
That's what
radio.
We do. I want to bring up Smoking Aces because I think Jason Bateman
really
is awesome
yeah.
in this.
I enjoyed this movie.
And that's one of those things that it can be easy to forget the type of things that Jason Bateman has done when he has a lot of this other fluff around there.
I honestly believe that his problem is the problem of a lot of funny actors in Hollywood is that he's attractive enough to be a leading man, so Hollywood tries to make him one. But the times where
right.
you are really drawn to his work is when he's a character actor.
Right.
Because Jason Bateman
Good point.
Is a very talented person.
Right.
And most of the time, what you really want to avoid with the leading roles in romantic comedies is talent. You want to avoid that.
Ironic.
You want to find people who are pretty and right. relatively empty inside. That's what you want to find to have a successful leading role. What you want to find for supporting roles that really make the movie
right.
what it is.
Are real people.
Some really talented people.
Right. So let's look. I mean, this guy, Jason Bateman, just to back up my thing of this guy probably has never been hurting for money.
Yeah, no, back up your thing.
He started back in the early 80s.
Yes.
On a show called Little House on the Prairie.
On the Prairie.
He had a semi-regular role near the end of that. And
it's from my neck of the woods.
He's never stopped working. I mean, right after that, he did Silver Spoons,
which
Knight Rider.
Wonderful, by the way. He at various times, rode that little train
right.
in and out of that freaking huge front hall with Ricky Schroeder.
Right.
By what's her name? Gray.
I don't know.
Erin Gray. Oh, my God. You don't know Erin Gray?
I might know her.
You're the wrong generation.
Is it AA or ER?
No idea what you said. Oh, her. Yeah.
Right.
ER.
Okay.
Lieutenant Wilma Deering on Buck Rogers.
Mm.
You know this woman.
Yeah. Well, I know the picture on the
talented, very beautiful,
the poster.
And her big break was Silver Spoons.
All right. So Jason Bateman, you know.
All right. Back to him.
Michael Cera,
yeah.
who Eric had a nice little comparison. Or not even comparison, he was, you know, competing.
Well, I feel
against,
bad for Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Michael Cera had such success right away, and Jesse Eisenberg was building his way up the independent film ladder. And for a while, in fact, a friend of mine had a bet the other night when they were watching the new season of Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine won some relatively substantial amount of money from a friend of hers because he bet that Michael Cera was the lead in The Social Network. So without them actually
wow.
having heard what I said earlier,
wow.
I was proven correct.
Another example, if you listen to the Lazy Muse podcast,
you avoid losing tons of money
right.
in stupid bets with your friends.
Your life will be better.
Bob.
You'll
you,
know what's
Bob.
Happening
yeah.
on the boob tube. What are some of your faves of Michael Cera? Do you know any movies that... That you liked this guy in? Oh, because sure. I dig him.
I mean,
you know.
I think he's really talented. I think Nick and Nora's playlist is actually good. Mm-hmm. Mostly because
that's on
I
mine.
Spent a lot of time at Arlene's Grocery when I lived
yes.
in New York.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so that mean it seemed kind of personally fun.
Going to punk rock karaoke?
I never did that. No, but it always sounded awesome.
Right.
You know, no, I just went to see people I knew play.
Friends of ours own the bar right around from there, the Skinny.
I have not been to the Skinny.
That was on mine too. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
I think it's great. I never saw the comic book one that everybody loved.
Scott Pilgrim versus
yeah,
the World.
I never saw it. I liked the comic very much.
Amazing. It is a great story.
I like the director. I like a lot of the cast. I just never ended up.
Paper Heart might be my favorite. Michael Cera.
I have not seen Paper Heart.
He's not even listed.
Okay.
As a character, although he's on the poster.
Sure.
And he'll be,
you know, when they re-release it, he'll be the first name on it, I'm sure.
It was made.
Like Jack Nicholson in The Little Shop of Horrors.
Right. It was with his girlfriend at the time, Charlene Yee. So the story is, it's a mockumentary.
Sure.
So, and the first time I watched it, I thought it was a documentary. I didn't know that it wasn't until after New Girl came out and the guy who plays Nick is on there. I was like, oh, well, this obviously was a fake movie.
Oh, so he plays himself in this.
No, Michael Cera plays himself and Charlene Yee plays herself. So
I wish I didn't know that they were together, but I guess that's a big part of what the plot of the movie
right.
is.
Right. It's about them meeting.
Okay.
Supposedly by, you know, accident
right.
at a party and them dating and her refusal to believe that there's anything, any such thing as love.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a mockumentary in that it's yeah. her, she's a stand-up comedian and she's not really funny, but she is compelling. It's her going around doing her stand-up, but then the side
well,
thing
I
of...
Always, I always go like this with stand-up comedians who are in movies. Is you can't tell if they're funny until you're sitting in a room with 50 other people and they're doing their thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you see a movie and they're compelling, but they're a comedian, I bet they are funny.
Right.
You're sitting alone
right.
in a room watching it instead of sitting with 50 other people
right.
who are willing to laugh.
They show a bit of her stand-up, though, and that's really what I was alluding to.
Oh, okay.
Was I didn't particularly find her stuff funny.
But
then Jack Johnson, who's Nicholas Jasanovic. This is the guy from New Girl.
Okay.
He plays her director. And, you know, they're just following them around
sure.
and documenting their love story. And it's a fun little movie. So
is New Girl worth watching?
I love New Girl.
Okay.
I think it's maybe one of the funniest shows on TV.
Really? Well, I've liked her in the past. And
Zoe
yeah,
Deschanel.
She's one of my favorite Hollywood families. I think her dad was a really underrated director and a terrific cinematographer.
What did he do?
He directed, I want to say it's The Escapist, but it might be The Escape Artist, starring Raul Julia. So, of course, I loved it.
Yes.
He's my favorite actor.
Nice. Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Well, and 100 other things. I love the guy.
Right.
But... He's her dad. Is
Street
also
Fighter.
Fantastic. Oh, stop it. He's also a fantastic cinematographer, and she's a very good actor. Like I say, so I mean, I'm willing to give it a chance.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the previews.
Check it out. Jake Johnson is hysterical, and Max Greenfield, who plays Schmidt, is also very good.
Okay. Well, while we took a little break there to fill our beer mugs with our new beer for this episode. Which is the Firestone Union Jack India Pale Ale. It's from the Firestone Walker Brewing Company. Alcohol 7.5% by volume, because Jimmy wants us to be completely unintelligible by the end of this podcast. It's from Paso Robles, California. And I got to say, right now, it tastes like a pretty passable IPA. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, this is, unlike our last one, this is rated by Beer Advocate a 94, so that's a world-class beer.
Okay, I mean, I figure you can find a world-class beer in every Safeway if you go by this.
Well, that's where I got this.
Yeah, there's a ton of 90-plus ratings.
Yeah,
well,
it's good. That's because we live in the Northwest where they appreciate beer. A couple things about this. This was actually a listener-recommended beer.
Oh.
So,
whom was our recommender?
Our recommender was Matt Maya from Bend,
actually, I said
Oregon.
Who was our recommender?
Thank you for correcting yourself. Yes. Matt Maya from Bend, Oregon. Oregonians.
Yeah, Midwest and or Northeast. So Oregon there.
I apologize for that. He wrote in on our Facebook page and said you guys should check this out. So I picked it up. And the other notable thing about Firestone Brewing Company is they are 4-time World Beer Cup champions.
What does that mean?
That means they won some award.
Well, that sounds cool.
I mean, World Beer Cup.
Every fucking barbecue joint I go to all over the world is world champion in some barbecue obscure thing, and it all sucks.
Oh.
You know, well, except for all those wonderful places in Kansas City.
I haven't tried it.
It's very good. We're talking Firestone now, not the shitty barbecue out here. What I will say in deference to my Oregonian friends, and I've been saying Oregon for a while, but we do know it's Oregon, is you've all been mispronouncing Kansas City for years.
How do you say it?
You say Kansas City.
Kansas City.
When I tell people where I'm from, I say I'm from Kansas, and they hear Kansas, and they know where from, then you say Kansas City.
Kansas City.
And they say, well, where? And you say Kansas City. And
Kansas
City.
You
have to eventually sometimes say Kansas City.
Right. So it's like New Orleans.
Yeah.
You Kansas run City. It together.
Yeah. Kansas City Royals. Kansas City Chiefs. It's not Kansas like City Royals.
An ellipses?
No, we just cut out a syllable or two in there somewhere.
Well, if it's good enough for Shakespeare, it's good enough for you
guys.
All
right, what the hell were we talking about? We did Michael Cera. Are we on to Jeffrey Tambor or what?
Well, Jeffrey Tambor, please. I mean, this guy.
I always, every single time, think of Mr. Mom with him. I go right to Mr. Mom.
Right, old school.
Every single time, I go right to that movie.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, I love the first time I truly remember him, and I saw Mr. Mom, but I guess he didn't jump out. As much as, you know, like a Michael Keaton. Sure. Barbarians at the Gate.
I love that movie.
Which, like, that's...
You're talking Great Escape. James Garner, you're talking here. I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gabriel Byrne's in that? Is he the other one?
I don't remember.
Byrne?
I don't think so. I think Gabriel Byrne... Well, maybe. I haven't seen it in 20 years, I'm sure. But you're talking about the based on a true story about Nabisco.
Well, two warring CEOs.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Tambor plays the consigliere kind of guy to one of those two guys. Okay. And he's gay in the movie and has a partner. And I just, for whatever reason, I really thought that his performance in that was top notch. And I kind of just took notice of him from that day forward.
He actually went to my grad school.
I
say I went to his grad school.
Right,
he was
in
the first graduating class of the Wayne Hilbury State Repertory Theater at Wayne State.
That's
University
right,
in Detroit, Michigan, ladies. And
I was gonna drop that myself, but you know,
all right,
you
so
had
we,
it.
We
but also the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh yeah. Oh, Hank Kingsley. Hey now.
Right.
Amazing. He won numerous Emmys for that.
Yeah.
He is unbelievably brilliantly funny, awful, ridiculous, horrifying in that.
Right.
TV show. And if you haven't seen the show, watch every episode. It's a really fantastic show.
It is.
Even if you hate or you think you hate Gary Shandling, I keep recommending this to people who haven't
you
seen
won't,
it.
Yeah, you won't matter. And if
Gary Shandling's fantastic.
Do yourself a favor and go back and watch the Gary Shandling show, which is one of the early HBO series.
Oh, yeah.
And it is hysterical.
But that said, it's Gary Shandling's show has the best performance by... I honestly think he's even better in that than he is in Arrested Development, I think Jeffrey Tambor. And then the best performance that Rip Torn gave after he beat up Norma Mailer with a hammer.
Right.
Those are the two best things he ever did.
Oh, Rip Torn. Okay.
Rip Torn to shreds.
So, let's
Jessica
talk
Walter.
A little bit... you wanted to... Sure. Jessica Walter.
Where were you?
Lucille Bluth.
Yeah, Jessica Walters, man.
I mean, bring her up. Let me drop her. What do you want to say about
this
chick?
I think you have to talk about Play Misty for Me. Play Misty for Me was the first film directed by Clint Eastwood, and it's the direct ancestor of Basic Instinct or Fatal Attraction, both of those.
Does she get nasty in it?
Well, sure.
I mean, she's hot in Archer.
right? No, she's gorgeous. This is 1970-something, and she's absolutely gorgeous. And Clint Eastwood is at his badass best, and you see a lot of what made him a terrific director as he got older, a real knowledge of and facility with music.
Yeah, I like his directing. Do you think he'll bounce back from the Republican National Convention?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't see the most recent one because it looked like a real fucking asshat cluster shit. So I didn't see it. But he's really talented. And if he keeps getting gigs and he's not crazy,
yeah,
sure he'll bounce
back.
Because
that was insane.
People go crazy. Fame makes people crazy. So at some point, a lot of people just fall off the ledge and never claw their way back. But I hope he does because he's a really gifted filmmaker and a very talented actor. So here's hoping. I don't give a shit what his politics is. I just want to see the next story he tells.
Short stint on One Life to Live.
Jessica? Well, I mean, she's terrific. And she wasn't really busy in the 80s and 90s. I mean, she wasn't. So when she came back with Arrested Development, it was huge. And I was incredibly happy to see her.
And she was the voice of Fran Sinclair in Dinosaurs.
Oh, wow. I loved that show when I was in high school.
Yeah. President Garcia Thompson in PCU.
Oh, I loved that movie. All right. So, I mean, she wasn't busy, but she had some highlights there. She had some good career highlights.
Yeah, those are great. And then who?
PCU,
I mean, is there
great just for the scene between Jon Favreau and George Clinton?
Oh, well, I love the courtroom scene. Man, he knows how to use the carb and everything, man.
Yeah, it's worth watching. For you jackasses who are all like in your 20s and you think you know weed movies, go back and watch.
Oh, that's another topic.
Weed movies?
Top 5 weed movies.
All right. We're setting up topics, by the way. TheVeryLazyMuse@gmail.com. Suggest your topics for our half-hour shows. We're planning now to do a long show followed by a couple of short shows every week. So for our short shows, we're thinking of lists, top 5 this, top 3 that. What do you think of this movie in particular?
Right.
We can talk about half an hour with anything. So TheVeryLazyMuse@gmail.com. Send us your ideas.
So, I mean, David Cross is somebody we got to talk about.
Oh, of course. And David Cross is really, truly fantastic. I mean, from back in his Mr. Show days, his stand-up is terrific. Everything I've seen him do, I have really quite enjoyed.
Bigger and Blackerer.
Yeah, Alvin and the Chipmunks. I mean, come on. Yeah,
right.
The guy is really, really interesting. And what he has been his entire career is just laugh out loud funny.
Yeah, Mary Shelley's Frankenhole.
Okay, I'm talking more like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And there's a movie that they made after Mr. Show with Bob and David. You know that one with Bob Odenkirk and him? A terrific cable TV series that will make you laugh out loud. My favorite quote from it, for whatever reason, is a moment where Bob hits him on the head with a dildo and says, "It's a box of big black dildos." It's a really stupid thing, but it's fantastic. And they do a brilliant version of Jesus Christ Superstar on that. Anyway, there's a movie they did after that called Run, Ronnie, Run. And on Twitter, I've recently been kind of taken to task for not having seen it. So it's on my Amazon queue right now.
All right. Well, let's what about Mr. Will Arnett?
Well, actually, yesterday, which was Memorial Day, which is my girlfriend's birthday.
Right.
And happy birthday, Linda. I love you.
Yes. Beautiful lady.
Yes. We had an amazing day, but in the middle of dinner with her family, what came up was the split between Will Arnett and Amy Poehler. It came up yesterday.
Right.
So while I'm doing the sports radio kind of phrasing, I'm going to talk about how much that actually does upset me. I don't give a shit about Hollywood weddings.
Right.
I give a shit about my friends and my family and anybody who they know. And really anybody who's going through any pain. I care about
that. The dissolution of this marriage affected America.
It did. And that's what sucks. It's like, I don't give a shit if Kardashian Jenner falls apart.
Who cares?
You know? But I feel like with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, I have an anchor.
Right.
I felt that way with Al Pacino and Beverly D'Angelo until that hit. And that one actually affected me incredibly hard.
Well, I didn't even know they were married.
They were together for like 30 years.
Well, I had no idea.
I don't believe they were married, but they were together for like 30 years.
Beverly D'Angelo. I'm
and
thinking
Al Pacino.
Of The
Vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
The Suicide.
Yeah.
Nice.
She also was incredible in a ton of movies where she played singers, and she's a really terrific actor. But in addition to the dissolution of the Will Arnett Amy Poehler union, I was hit just as hard by the Nancy Wilson Cameron Crowe.
Did they break. Have a break?
They split up 3 years ago.
Holy
Nancy
cow!
Nancy Wilson remarried last year. That was huge for me. You know, that relationship was formative in what I think of.
No Almost Famous sequel.
Well, right. I mean, no, but she also was heavily involved in all his movies from the mid-80s on, you know, and likewise, he was involved with her music. But, I mean, in addition to that, I mean, maybe the one that hit me hardest was the Josh Brolin, Diane Lane split. You know, there were a few that you're going, this is a great couple. It's a great match.
Right.
I don't know them.
Right.
Maybe they're both
assholes.
Who
are these people?
I mean, you know, but that and the Bradley Whitford, Jane Kasmarek split, that hurt me a lot, too.
Yeah,
so if you're all listening to this, fuck you.
Yeah.
It hurt me.
Work it out. Work it out.
Think of the G's. Think of Jimmy G and Eric Gratton and make this happen because we believe in love.
So Will Arnett, despite his, you know, horrible track record, because he probably screwed it up. He did something wrong.
I don't know. That's awful. That's awful.
I'm putting it out there.
Do
prove
that.
Me wrong.
Do that.
Prove me wrong,
I
Will.
Can't do
you
that.
Come on the podcast and you show me
right?
how
yeah.
you were wrong.
I want to move on from here. I feel dirty just talking about people's personal lives. So let's move on.
So Will Arnett, I mean, he's funny. He's a funny guy.
He's very funny. Absolutely. I absolutely love him on 30 Rock.
Yes.
Which was one of the great things he did after the dissolution, which we've used about 29 times
right.
today.
Ratatouille,
you know, he's wonderful in that. It's a great actor that we're
so,
talking about.
So let's just talk about Tony Hale for a second here. Buster.
No, I'm not done with Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, what
you,
else do you want to say?
You hurry the fuck out of me. You're just like, let's move the fuck on.
Well, I give myself just three ahs, and then I figure it's time to do a transition.
Is that right? Oh, okay. So every time you say, you're willing to move on to the very next thing.
No, three of them.
Three of them, okay. You just did three in a row, so I guess it is time to go.
No, what do you want to say about Will? What else is there?
I want to talk about Let's Go to Prison. Have you seen this movie?
Is this the one with Jim Carrey?
No, this is Dax Shepard.
No, I haven't seen this, and
you
I like Dax.
This. Yeah, Dax Shepard's
I
fun.
Dig
I
dig Dax
we
Shepard,
just watched
man.
Hit and Run. Have you
oh,
seen Hit and Run?
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
We live in Washington State, so at some point on evenings in the weekends, there's a moment where you go, like, what do you want to watch?
Right.
And that's when we hit and Run the other day, and it was just the best.
Yeah.
And Chi McBride is amazing in Let's Go to Prison. It's a really fun, stupid movie, but it's really fun, and it's basically Dax Shepard and Will Arnett. So I highly recommend it.
Is it on Netflix?
It used to be. I'm not sure. Let's talk about Tony Hale, and I'll let you know in a second.
Tony Hale, Buster. Hello, brother.
Hey, Hermana.
he has a great little show on Hulu called Control. If you have Hulu, Hulu Plus.
I haven't seen it.
It's and it might have concluded, but it's still there. So okay. This is one of those where they filmed it probably in, you know, a week, and then they just released it in, you know, 3 to 5 minute chunks. And it's
sure.
The premise is, you know, he gets control over people's lives in this office that he works in with the control button. So he can delete, he can rewind, and it's all about him being in love with his girl and not knowing how to get to her. And then things get in the way of him getting to her, so he uses these, you know, newfound omniscient powers through his keyboard to delete things that have happened, or Apple Z that as Apple people use to undo.
Yes, of course.
But it's that's the premise. But more importantly, he did this really fantastic movie called Happy Thank You More Please,
which is on my queue, and I haven't seen it yet.
It's an open love letter to New York City, and if you're like me,
well,
who thinks it's one of the greatest places in the world. It is.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I watched this right after we moved here. And there's an argument between.
You cried out loud.
Oh, I didn't cry, but what was
you
brilliant
did.
Was Lisa.
Like someone stepped on your pinky toe.
No,
you cried.
No, I did. But there's an argument between two actors in the movie.
Of course, because you can't have a movie that takes place in New York and make it honest without having some fucking actors in it.
To get to my point is the argument is about one person loving New York and everything about it, and the other person saying, yeah, but we should really go because all those things you love about New York, you never do.
Yeah.
This was my wife and I's point in life. When we watched this movie, we turned to each other and was like, oh my God, somebody has invaded our brains and stolen our conversations for the last 3 months.
See, if that second guy had said, all the things you love about New York make you drink way too much and possibly walk in front of taxis, then it would have been my subtext. So I understand what you're saying, and I will watch it because I like Tony Hale and I love New York. But I have no regrets at leaving. And I'm betting that all my other friends who left in their sane, salient moments also have no problem with leaving.
The same thing. But other than that, it's one of those great indie films when it's just about people and their interactions with each other. There's no big thing that's happening. It's just about human relationships. And those are the hardest movies to make well. But when you do make them well, they're the ones that really impact you.
Well, and I was talking about this the other day too. It's the reason it's tough is the same reason that you can't make a good divorce movie. Like the other day, the kids were there and we watched for some reason Stepmom. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Julia Roberts, Ed Harris, and Susan Sarandon.
No, and I don't think I've seen it.
The thing is, that's a great cast.
Right.
And the thing is, all of the performances are terrific. And it's an effective movie.
That's not a good thing to say, right?
No, it's crap.
Right.
It's not their fault. It's really hard to write that movie. You cannot write Kramer versus Kramer unless you're a genius.
Yep.
Because every one of the conversations that leads to that story, if you write it based on reality, all it is a series of cliches that make you hate yourself. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's just familiar and boring. And it's a testament to the great cast and the really good direction that's in there that make this movie watchable. Because it's watchable. Stepmom's watchable. But it's not Kramer versus Kramer.
Right.
And I kind of think you never, ever need to make another divorce movie. Because Kramer versus Kramer is going to be better. They lucked into a perfect cast and a perfect director and a perfect writer.
Was that Sidney Pollack?
Yeah. And there you go.
Yeah. Well.
Done.
So let's talk about what did you think about Arrested Development?
Well, don't we have to talk about – I mean where we are right now. I think we should talk about maybe and
– okay. You want to – fine. Maybe, whatever. That's what I think about the actor. She's not bad.
I think she's great.
But I don't think she's great. I think she's serviceable. It's understood. Like she does what she's supposed to do. And there's
– I think she's terrific but has no – there's no way she's going to be successful in Hollywood.
And she hasn't
until
been.
Until she turns into a director. Hollywood will turn her into a director. I think she's very funny and I think she's very talented and I think she's got no chance in Hollywood. Move to New York and she's got a great chance. where people are much more willing to give interesting-looking people a chance. She is interesting-looking. She's attractive, and she's funny, and she's smart, and she's talented.
Okay.
But that doesn't have a whole lot of success in Hollywood. And I think we need to talk about...
Portia?
Portia de Rossi.
Miss DeGeneres? Mrs. DeGeneres, yes. No.
Again, I don't give a shit about who anybody's married to, but
but
this is the best thing she's done. She's terrific in this show and in this role. Haven't seen her in the show in the new episodes yet.
She's in the third episode,
the first two,
right? Because and that's something I wanted to talk about. Is this new? I've only seen three episodes.
Yes,
And I would have seen a lot more had I been like just sucked in and laughing till my guts hurt, but that didn't happen.
Well,
so,
if I'd have been in the frame of mind where I looked at my girlfriend and went, oh, hey, let's watch.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because I'm in Washington State, and sometimes I'm in that mind. That's where we should have started watching it.
It's, you know, and both my wife and I love this.
I mean, positive you're going to say both my wives.
Both sister women.
You were going to do that.
My sister women's. But, I mean, we watched this show, and, I mean, my daughter, I was proud for 1 second of the moment of the fact that she would choose, oh, I want to watch Arrested Development over My Little Pony. Until she walked out and pulled her shirt above her head and said, say goodbye to these. And then it hit me. Oh, this is inappropriate.
No, that's not inappropriate. Not even a little bit.
So we were.
I want to say for a second that we were completely wrong on the Sidney Pollack idea. I kind of thought it was too.
Oh,
but no, it's Robert Benton directed it. And that's perfectly cool.
I felt
too.
There was something Meisner about the movie.
Well, he wrote Superman and Bonnie and Clyde, and he directed Nobody's Fool. He's a borderline Hall of Famer by himself. He's very good. And even if all he had done was Kramer versus Kramer, he's in the conversation for the Hall of Fame. But it does feel like a Sidney Pollack movie. All right, moving
right.
on.
Right, very Meisner. So I was excited for the return of Arrested Development. My whole family was.
Yeah.
And so these first three episodes, they've taken a slightly different tact than they did in the original series in that the first three are individual character centric, meaning the first one is, you know, this is a story about a son who tries to save his family. The second one, this is a story about a father who
is
blah,
trying
blah, blah,
to keep his family together.
And
yes.
The third one is, this is a story about a daughter.
Oh,
who,
is it?
Blah, blah, blah.
Like I say, I haven't done the third one yet.
So, but. I mean, I don't know if it was like, well, we can't get everybody together all the time, so we kind of have to do something different. Or if there's like, you know what? I wish we would have done this from the very beginning, so now we're going to do it.
I don't know if it's either one of those. I bet it's a conscious choice.
Nothing. Yeah.
I don't think any of these people are so incredibly busy, with the possible exception of Jessica Walter, who has an ongoing show right now that's making her a ton of money that she has to be ready for.
What show is this?
Archer.
Oh, right. Her voiceover show.
But even then, she can probably come in on her own time and do it. Not being in the room for the meetings, I bet that everybody who's involved is excited enough to give this whatever time they need.
Whatever they had to, yeah.
You know, famously, Michael Cera was the last one to sign on, and I rather think that happened because the offers dried up for him. So I think he's probably one of the more excited people to get to the set.
Right. get his name out there again.
Yeah, so I think this is exactly what the creators and writers wanted.
Right, I would have to assume. I mean, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me. I'm like, oh, how dare they change that?
No, I love that. I love that it says, you know, when it does the little graphic for the pre-show bit, it changes the theme song a little bit, because I've got to think that Fox owns the right to that theme song. It's just a
tiny
little
pick
bit
up on that.
And they say a semi-original series.
I didn't
Netflix,
see that either.
Which is really fucking funny.
Nice.
That's really fucking funny. It says an original series, and then there's a little like red arrow that says semi. And it's kind of awesome.
And so as it leads in, it'll say this a story about Lindsay's Arrested Development.
That's cool.
I'm waiting for it to get better.
I'm assuming that there is a large bird featured in Lindsay's.
I kept falling asleep.
Oh. Tell me it was very late.
I don't remember. It was very late. For me, I mean, I got a kid. I
so
wake
like
up at
7:30 p.m.
No, it was like 11:30.
Okay.
I don't remember a large bird, but.
That's all right.
Could have been.
There was a large bird at the end of the first one that then they put the.
A lot of times, though,
they pointed the finger towards Lindsay with that,
right? And they'll put a button on that, and you don't see it for five episodes, and
yes.
Then
no, I will say that while I'm not happy with the first couple, by no means am I just going to not watch the rest of them.
I will watch it, but you brought up the interesting point that you had read the participants
the creators and the producers
don't watch it
and
all
the writers
once.
They said the worst thing you can do with it is to watch them
do
all
a marathon.
In a row. Yeah, well, because I assume they realized that it was coming out at 3 in the morning in New York and Miami, and midnight in Seattle and L.A.
Right.
And Vegas, but Vegas, there is no time.
It doesn't matter.
Time does not exist.
So I will finish this up. I mean, I likened it though to, you know, you just broke up with one girlfriend and you're thinking about how great it was with your previous girlfriend, and so you go out on a date with them, and then you realize why you broke up with the first girlfriend first place.
You go out on a date with your first girlfriend again?
Yeah. Right. And that's how I felt after these first two episodes. Like, oh, I'm trying to go back to something that just this isn't as good as I remember it being the first time.
You can never go home.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, it's going to get better and I can go back, because that's what I have to do. You have to go back.
Sure. No, I will take a different tack with this and say that the movies based on TV series are often very different. And what I will say is that I enjoyed the movie of Serenity. It wasn't as good as Firefly, but I'm glad they made it.
Right.
And in between, there was a series of comic books that were meant to take you between Firefly, the end of Firefly, and the beginning of Serenity.
Into the movie.
And I liked those very much, and I found them very helpful. So I'm treating this series of 15 episodes? 15 episodes as the comic book middle of the Firefly Serenity grayscale.
Look at that. How about so that?
That's what I'm treating these as. Yes.
You only get that at the Lazy Muse.
That's right.
That kind of geekery.
So this has been the Lazy Muse about Arrested Development. I think we both wholeheartedly, feverishly recommend the series.
Yes.
And are both incredibly excited for the movie. And are, while lukewarm on the series thus far, we're both going
to
finish it.
But when you've done as well as they have up to this point,
you've earned a pass.
You earn, no matter what happens, I'll watch it through to the end, because they've earned that.
Well, and I got to say, I will not be surprised if come around episode 7, I understand how brilliant the first two episodes were.
It just blows up. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I fully expect almost to get to episode 7 and start laughing so hard at stuff that was set up 6 episodes earlier.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm Eric Gratton.
I'm Jimmy G.
And this has been the Lazy Muse podcast about Arrested Development.
As always, you can leave us comments at theverylazymuse@gmail.com.
Or on iTunes at the Lazy Muse podcast.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ The Lazy Muse.
And I gotta say, I got a text in the middle of this comment from, or in the middle of this episode, from my friend JJ McCardle from Northern.
What's up, JJ?
New Jersey, who
JJ
says that we should make this available to people who own
Android devices.
I myself own an Android device.
Guess what, JJ?
And I have listened to it on there. So
get with it, JJ.
It's not my fault, JJ, that you are not computer savvy.
Does JJ have kids?
No.
All right.
Not that he knows of.
Go ask your 5-year-old how to do it, because I'm sure they know.
So what I will say, young JJ, is that we are working on developing an app that will be available on your Android device. It ain't there yet, but you can download, as always, at iTunes, Podomatic, or
Stitcher.com.
So do that and transfer it to your Android device.
What's coming up on Obstructed Review?
Well, in June, my friend Grog on the Twitter has challenged me to do 100 movies in a month.
100 movies in 31 days.
30 days.
30
no,
days
no
in June.
No repeats, and it's recommended that there are no sequels. So,
what, sequel's a movie?
It is, but I like this recommendation, because sequels tend to suck. So this is what I'm going to do, and I plan on making sure you all understand what that is on Obstructed Review. My most recent article is about how much I hate theatrical previews and television previews and all
right.
the previews.
We've talked
previews,
about this.
Fuck off.
Yes, we've talked about this. Ad nauseum.
Because I'm right. Previews are the worst. All right, so I'm Eric Gratton.
I'm Jimmy G.
And this is The Lazy Muse.
We'll talk at you later. I'm not sure.